From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name's Amanda Dunn. I'm the politics and society editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, Parliament began for the new year today, the lead up to which has been consumed with various texting scandals and assessments of the Prime Minister's character. But importantly, the government's religious discrimination bill is being debated at the moment, with some members of his own party uncomfortable with it to the point that they may cross the floor. How likely is it to get through, do you think?
I think at the moment it's very difficult to tell that, Amanda. We know that a number of moderates have been very concerned about this bill, and also there's quite a lot of debate over what's become an associated bill to protect gay students, but that legislation or an amendment as it is would not cover trans students, so the moderates are concerned about that. On the whole package, Bridget Archer, who's from Tasmania in the very, very marginal seat of Bass, has told the Parliament tonight that she won't support the religious discrimination bill, and she's warning that it could result in some people committing self-harm. And she's been a critic of this for some time. Meanwhile, in the Coalition Party room earlier, New South Wales moderate Trent Zimmerman reserved his right to vote against the legislation. And there are other critics among the moderates. So at the moment, we just don't know what the numbers will be in the Coalition. We also don't know the stand of Labor. It has only got the amendments tonight that the government is putting in, and it hasn't had a shadow cabinet meeting on the legislation yet or a caucus meeting. So all in all, the situation is very, very uncertain. But what we do know is that the Prime Minister is fighting very hard to get this legislation. He told the party room it was a promise before the last election. He said that it's important in multicultural communities. He really is putting his authority on the line as far as he can to try to round up the troops.
All right. And on another issue, Michelle, Scott Morrison today in Parliament said sorry for the bullying, harassment and sexual assault that has occurred within Parliament House. And he specifically said this to Brittany Higgins as well as other people. And this came in the wake of the review by Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins. How significant was this apology?
The whole Parliament really came together to say sorry. There were statements in the lower house and in the Senate, and the party leaders spoke. I think that for Scott Morrison's part, he really is anxious to be seen to be responding as much as he can to the various criticisms, the attacks on the toxic culture of Parliament House. Of course, his critics will say that this response is not good enough, that he's not going far enough. But it was interesting that he was explicit today. This followed the recommendation of Kate Jenkins for a general apology, and Brittany Higgins and a small group of women were in the chamber to hear this. Brittany Higgins' partner tweeted that they were late invites because this building, of course, is closed at the moment to the public because of COVID, and also I think probably because of the demonstrators, the people who are anti-vaccine mandates who have been surrounding this building and outside other places in Canberra over the last week. Anyway, these few women were there to watch the parliamentarians, and we've got Grace Tame and Brittany Higgins at the National Press Club tomorrow, an event that's totally sold out. So I think that they will be sending another strong message, as they have for nearly a year now, about a year, on these issues. They believe that there's a lot more that needs to be done. And I think they question the commitment of many of the parliamentarians.
Okay, and on to the aged care crisis, which by now is very well documented. Aged care has suffered the worst of all sectors in the pandemic in many ways, both in terms of the illness itself, but also a critical workforce shortage. What is the government doing to address this?
This week, the government announced that it would send in up to 1,700 military personnel to help. Some will be clinicians, nurses, but obviously not that many, but the others will be doing the sort of tasks that have to be done in these facilities, but that there are not enough people to do at the moment because the workforce has been so diminished. Many, many people have COVID or have been close contacts, and therefore shifts are not being filled and the residents are being not looked after as well as they should be and even as they usually are. Also, many residents in these facilities are just locked down because there are not the resources to allow families to get in, the vetting and other things that need to be done so that the safety of the facility is, the health safety is preserved to the extent possible. So the military will help, but the thing is that this sector has such underlying problems going to staffing primarily, but not entirely, and the fact that the staff are underpaid and there are just not enough of them. So I think that what's happened is that the government has not used the time during COVID, and we saw that outbreak in Victoria in 2020, it has not used the time since then to really prepare the sector for this Omicron crisis. And of course, it's not even intervening in the wage case that's been going on to argue for the staff to get a higher pay rate, which obviously they should get and they need to get if we are to have better staffing levels. It is interesting politically that today, which was the first day of this parliamentary sitting, Labor homed in strongly on aged care. It didn't bother with the Barnaby Joyce text affair. I think that it recognised that it already had its effect and that it was important to be seen to be concentrating on the important policy issue that really concerns so many Australian families.
And just on that issue, Michelle, of the text message that was sent from Barnaby Joyce and was revealed over the weekend, late last week. Is the Prime Minister's character going to be a central issue in the election, do you think? And how much of a distraction is it from debating policy?
I think it will be an important issue, but I think that probably the public are so caught up in the problems of Omicron and supply issues, things of that nature, that at the moment you can see that the character issue is probably secondary, and that's why I think Labor recognises that it's got to be careful not to open itself to criticism of concentrating too much on what people are less concerned with at the moment, if that makes sense. It's a bit of a delicate balance for Labor because it does want to push the character issue, but it does also realise that it's got to tap into what's really front of mind for the average Australian at the moment, which is such a difficult time.
All right, Michelle, terrific to talk with you as always. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.